Season 2 of Love in Context podcast welcomes you. Get ready for engaging, unscripted conversations with your hosts, Ben and Spencer. Our mission remains unchanged: to explore the Bible through the powerful lens of love.
In this new season, we'll embark on a journey together, unearthing fresh insights and gaining deeper understanding of how we can love God and live out our faith in practical ways.
So let's dive into this season of Love in Context, where love and the context of the Bible intersect to transform our lives.
Guess what, everyone? We're actually here this time. We actually made a plan and all showed up.
Yeah,
so
it worked out.
And we might have had to have a reminder text 5 minutes after 10 for somebody.
Yeah.
We'll remain anonymous.
They will remain nameless.
Nameless.
You make it sound like you've got a lot of family that is vying for your attention every moment of every day.
Definitely. Like, this was the top of my priority, which is why I was here waiting in the parking lot for you guys. Yeah.
She actually had, like, made breakfast. And no, that's not.
I wish.
We are Love in Context podcast with Ben and Spencer, and we're once again joined by our really good friend, Pastor Sarah, from over at South Tongass Alliance Church. We're so glad that she's here with us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We have you scheduled for multiple episodes over the next future, so we're very excited about that. And we are concluding our little mini-series on the spiritual gifts today.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. It only took us 8 weeks to do a six-week series with two-episode break in the middle.
Yeah, it's all right. It happens.
Well, what happened is we were recording, and then everybody in the world got sick. Uh-huh. So we couldn't schedule and get time to do it, because then like, your family was sick, and then my family was sick, and so we recorded a couple episodes, and then we were going to do it the next time, and we couldn't get schedules lining up.
Yeah.
And so we're like, you know what? Two filler episodes. But we had one called The Kingdom of Trolls, which was a lot of fun, where we talked about how the church is kind of becoming a kingdom of trolls online, having comments about each other.
Ooh.
On social media.
I really can't wait to hear that.
Yeah, it's actually posted.
Okay.
Yeah.
We talked about how the best thing you can do when someone's wrong is just go to social media and just blast.
That is absolutely the best.
That is actually Spencer's advice all the time.
See, that's in Matthew 17. Matthew 17 says you post on social media, and then in Matthew 18 you go to them face to face.
If you actually go to the book of Second Opinions, there's a lot of really interesting content regarding a lot of those things. So, okay. You know, I think probably the best place to start in healing is having this conversation. What does the Bible say about healing? Mm-hmm. Right? So let's go all the way back into Torah and take a look at like what God has done through that area. So healing is a lot of different things: physical, spiritual, emotional. Mm-hmm. In fact, we're even going to touch a little bit on like what is deliverance, because that is always going hand in hand with the ministry of Jesus.
Yep. Yeah.
So in Torah, there's actually a number of times where we'll take Sarah for example. We're going to take Rebecca for example. We talk about them both in women in ministry. Is that they were barren. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They couldn't have children. And in the case of Isaac prayed for Rebecca. Mm-hmm. God heard him. And then her womb was opened, right? Same thing in the case of Rachel, like, and Leah, God heard their cries, and he opens the wombs, right? All throughout the blessings and the curses that happen through Torah, God keeps making these statements. He says, if you follow my commands and obey I'm gonna say wishes. That's not the word I'm looking for. My commands or my instructions. That's a better word than wishes.
Yes. Those are two very different words.
Those are very, very different words.
They are very different words.
I'm really glad that you have a concrete word now. Instructions.
Yeah. Wishes was not the one I
wishes
wanted.
Wishes is not.
Covenant is actually the word I was thinking
there we
of.
Go.
You fulfill
there we go.
My covenant.
There we go.
That was what I was looking for.
There's that theology coming out in you.
Yeah. Somebody's just gonna cut that one being like, Ben thinks that God grants wishes. So even though, actually, what will probably happen is Pastor Nick will quote me as loving out of context.
Every time.
But God says if you go and do these things, that he's actually going to start reversing the things that happened coming out of Eden. That you're going to have lots of children, that your fields are going to produce, that your animals are going to multiply, and that you're going to expand your territory, which, by the way, comes back to this whole idea of be fruitful and multiply. You have the idea that the ground is cursed because of man.
Yeah.
Right? We talked about how Tim Mackey has the piece where he talks about women are going to have difficulty in getting pregnant. mm-hmm. right? It's been translated as childbearing, but it's actually the difficulty in getting pregnant,
yes.
which is like the flip side of the curse of the land, right? Mm-hmm. The fruitfulness of the womb versus fruitfulness of the land. But when you follow God, you actually reverse that. You come back to Eden, which is very much the whole story of the Bible through Jesus, is that God is bringing us back to the garden. He's bringing us mm-hmm. back to this relationship.
Yeah.
And then you have Elijah and Elisha in the Bible, who Elisha and Elijah, who bring people back from the dead. They heal yeah. people. Their skin conditions are healed. There's a famous story with Naaman,
yep.
where he's told to bathe in the water for seven times, not because the water is special, uh-huh. but because Elijah is calling something into him, like mm-hmm. he's revealing something mm-hmm. to this man. Coming all the way into the New Testament. So, mm-hmm. the basic reason I want to mention the Old Testament before we talk about Jesus. Is sometimes I have this idea in church evangelical thought that Jesus came and he was the first person to heal, which is not true.
Right.
It was happening all throughout history, all throughout the Bible. Miraculous right. things were happening. In fact, there's some crazy things that happened in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Some borderline insane things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, backing up to Moses a little bit,
yeah.
like, this is just a little interesting connection piece for you. His encounter at the burning bush foreshadows the future of what the Lord's going to do for his people.
Because
mm-hmm. you have to put your hand in the coat, disease, mm-hmm. put it back yep. in, it's healed. You have the miraculous signs, throw your staff on the ground, here's mm-hmm. a snake, pick it up. So you have the healing, the miraculous, and then mm-hmm. leading into deliverance.
Right. So I want to center in, because we're going to be talking about where's the place for healing, deliverance inside of the church. And so I want to center in on really what Jesus speaks, because most of the people who are listening or most of the people who are interested in what we have to say are people who want to follow Christ, mm-hmm. right? So I want to go to Matthew 10, where Jesus takes his 12 disciples and he's sending them out. Now, this is one of two places where Jesus sends his disciples out. Once he sends 12 and once he sends 72.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The bigger part that I want to focus in on is this part where Jesus tells him you're going to go and proclaim this message.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're going to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. Mm-hmm. And because you freely received, you're going to freely give.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Now, the reason I wanted to mention that is because there is a trend in the church where people talk about Jesus commissioned his apostles, but that's not a message for us to this day.
Yeah.
And the main reason I wanted to continue reading is because you're going to recognize a lot of those verses that are quoted in a lot of theology books about how to live the Christian life. You know, you're going to be like sheep among mm-hmm. wolves. You're going to need to be as innocent as doves and crafty mm-hmm. as snakes, right? Mm-hmm. That people are going to hate you because of me. You're not greater than your master.
Yep.
If they're only meant to the apostles, and these are all part of one discourse, which pieces are meant for them and which pieces are meant for us? Because you can't just ticky-tack decide which pieces you want
right.
and which pieces you don't.
Right.
Now, some of those, of course, are going to contextually be appropriate. You're going to have to translate those to America because we don't... there's not a lot of dust. It rains a lot here. There's not a lot of dust, so you're not going to shake your dust off your feet when you go somewhere, right?
It's mud.
Right, the mud. You're going to shake the mud off your feet.
Yeah.
But this call that Jesus gives us, to go and share the gospel, is first that the kingdom of heaven is here, and then to bring the reality of the kingdom into people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about like the spiritual gifts, love God, love other people, know the voice of God,
mm-hmm.
exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, and then walk these things out in humility,
mm-hmm.
right? So before we got into experiential or our stories of like, what God has done through healing, I want to set this precedent. Jesus is very clear. We should be about the kingdom business, which involves putting broken things back together.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
And yes. we're talking, and with that context, when we're talking healing, we're talking there's multiple layers to it.
Correct.
Right. Like a lot of times, at least the church I grew up in, when we talked healing, we thought of like the crazy person coming and laying hands on you and being like, be saved, be healed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can now walk straight type thing. And,
right.
Which I've seen that happen. And I've also had times where I've seen people pray over people for healing. And it hasn't happened.
Right.
Right. Right.
And so we need to take that and we just need to take it in stride.
Agreed.
And we also have to remember that not everything that needs to be healed is visible to the mm-hmm. human eye.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times mm-hmm. the healing that is being done through the power of the Spirit can be instantaneous, and it could be something that we know mm-hmm. nothing about because it is so deeply
yeah.
hidden in that person's story, or as opposed to the ones where we can see someone that no longer has cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But we cannot diminish the fact that everything that is broken is supposed to come underneath the authority of heaven and
mm-hmm.
earth
mm-hmm.
and come to full restoration.
Right.
That has been God's plan since the very beginning, ever since yeah. we failed in the garden.
Right. So would you say then, Sarah, that maybe the tendency in the Christian church at times is for people who are looking towards healing, that they pursue the, I'm going to say demonstrative things, the things that you see,
yeah.
and they neglect the other portions, because it's meant to be, it's a cohesive unit. Right? Like body, soul, spirit. It's not yeah. one thing that is needs addressing, because I know for a fact in my life that a broken heart hurts a lot more than a broken back.
Yeah, that's good.
Maybe not physically, but you carry it with you around, and it affects my relationships, and it affects my mm-hmm. way I interact with my kids, mm-hmm. you know? And if somebody says, you know, well, the broken back is the more important thing, I was like, well, clearly you've never walked around with a broken heart or a broken spirit.
I think really what the danger is, Ben, I hear what you're saying, but it's the fact that we have a tendency as humans to compare pain.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily us questioning the use of healing or mm-hmm. what does healing look like. What we're actually doing is we're comparing pain.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And when we come and we go, well, that's just emotional pain, or that's mm-hmm. just mental health issues. Oh, that's mm-hmm. just, come on, it's just a kidney stone. I've had so much worse than that. I had cancer. Get over yourself.
Yeah.
Or are you kidding me? Your mom yelled at you. I was beaten half of my life growing mm-hmm. up. Like, so we have, as humans, mm-hmm. we come in and we want to compare our pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the very first thing that stops the Spirit of God to be fully unleashed in healing. Because if we aren't aware of our hindrances or our biases or our comparisons that we're making with people, and we go and we're like, I'm going to pray for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Spencer, really? I'm going to pray for you right now because you're crying about your broken, your dead cat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's ownership not only in us as the ministers that are supposed to be enacting that authority that Jesus gives,
mm-hmm.
but then there's also that person's own biases that they're bringing yeah. into this. Can I trust God? Can I really believe that God cares that I'm hurting over this?
Right.
Yeah.
It's so good. I 100% on board with you,
mm-hmm.
Which is yeah exactly why I was mentioning that. It's like emotional things, like they are disruptive. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. it is difficult for me. I think I talked on the last episode how I'm finding that my 3-year-old is a lot like me mm-hmm. developmentally, and that I have struggled with low EQ, emotional intelligence, for a really long time. My wife has done a good job of like bringing me up to stuff, but. And my Last friends day. Still are like, you can't say that to somebody. I was like, okay, good to know. Good to know. I can't say that. And so like sometimes like if something happened, I was like, oh, why do you care? Just brush it off.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's mm-hmm. the way my brain works, because that particular thing would just roll off of me.
Right.
And then, but I also know how much it hurts when somebody does say something and it sticks with me.
Yeah.
And it's like Teflon on a pan, man. It sticks there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that just reminds us that the tongue has the power to burn down mm-hmm. a forest.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have a good conversation about that coming up in James.
So mm-hmm. just saying.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, with one of the rules that my wife and I have in our marriage is that we're not going to compare our pain.
Mm.
Like you were just talking about this earlier. Yeah. Like that's a rule that we have in our marriage. Like if I'm having a bad day, like she doesn't get to come in and say, well, I've had to deal with this today. Right. And vice versa. If she's having a bad day, I don't get to come in and say, well, I've had to deal with worse today.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, no, I'm going to step out of whatever I'm dealing with to be there for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's going to do the same for me when the time comes. And it's been one of the healthiest things in our marriage, because as soon as you get into that comparing back and forth, it mm-hmm. just wrecks your relationship with whoever it just wrecks your relationship with whoever you're comparing with.
Right.
Right? Like if if Sarah was like, oh, get over yourself because your cat died. For the record, I don't like cats. And if a neighbor dog ate a cat, if I had a cat and a neighbor dog ate it, I'd be like, oh, no.
Oh, no. Sad. Oh, Mr. Whiskers. Oh.
I'd be like, okay, whatever.
But for somebody else, might be traumatizing.
Might be traumatizing, yeah. Right? Right. Like, I grew, so, like, example, like, there are people I know when they lose pets, they're like, it's a very hard thing for them.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I grew up on... with lots of animals. Mm-hmm. We bred dogs. We had like 15 of them. We had chickens. We had horses, all this stuff. Like animals just, they just died. And we'd be like, mm-hmm. okay, great. And we'd go bury them and then we'd move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but I know for other people, it's a very big deal.
Right? Yeah. So I had a dog named Willow, mm-hmm. Great dog. It was my first dog.
Mm-hmm.
And when she died, we had to put her down. I cried hard, mm-hmm. hard, like big, soppy, wet, snotty tears. Like mm-hmm. it was big old tears. And I even think about that moment, and I get teary-eyed because yeah. And I was like, but you know, one of the things that I have, I don't know if you feel bad. Like one of the hard things about being guys is sometimes people give guys a hard time about crying.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I never feel bad about crying about something that I miss because mm-hmm. it means it mattered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm never going to feel bad about that. And by the way, you shouldn't feel bad about crying in general, but I am talking about personal experience here.
Yeah.
I used to feel bad, but I don't feel bad about it anymore because it mattered. It mattered to me.
Well, I think that right there is the heart posture that every single person who is a minister of the gospel, mm-hmm. i.e., which is everybody, because
mm-hmm.
we were all commissioned. So it's not just those of us who carry the title of pastors. We're supposed to be coming to this topic of healing with the heart of humility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Jesus showed us the way, and we know in Philippians that he came, he left his throne on high, he took on the humble position as a slave, chose to be born as an infant, you know, born in the epitome of poverty. And Jesus spends his entire ministry, those 3 years of going directly to those that the world deemed mm-hmm. not really a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares
mm-hmm.
that the lepers are out there? Mm-hmm. Who cares that the widows and orphans mm-hmm. are out there? Who cares that the Samaritan woman, you know, has to go get her water at noon so she can avoid all of the yatches in her community mm-hmm. and you know, Jesus always had this position of humility of saying your pain matters.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what your pain looks like, no matter the size, you can't quantify pain. You cannot put mm-hmm. pain into a box. There's a reason why we are having a mental health crisis in the nation right now is because we're finding out that emotional pain can have so much more significant damage than physical pain
mm-hmm.
can.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you firsthand, guys, as a kid that has a pretty significant trauma background, I will tell you that the moments of physical abuse cannot compare to the moments of emotional abuse that was done to me.
Mm-hmm.
I can look at the scars on my body and go, I remember that moment. And I can shrug it off, but it's the things that were spoken over me, the manipulation and all of the things that were done to me mm-hmm. in those years of abuse that I'm still reeling from. Mm-hmm. My body's healed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There is, you know, when you physically get hurt, cut your arm, break a limb, you know, any of those things that happen, boys do a lot of that growing up because we're always testing the boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You end up with scars, mm-hmm. you know, and often as you grow up, you're like, oh yeah, this is when I learned not to mess with my chainsaw, you know? But the hard thing with emotional and spiritual trauma is that the scars usually show up in trust and how you feel about people and
relationships.
And those you can't see them.
Can't see that. Yep. Mm-hmm.
But it is real. And so, like in this topic of healing, when we say talk about like the church has to be healing, I think you nailed it right on the head. Is that you have to, if we even going to talk about engaging people, which we're called to do,
right?
We are called to engage people in healing ministry, not just body, but soul, mind, spirit, right?
Yeah.
And then we have to first realize that your pain matters.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
right? You nail that completely on the head, is that the pain matters. It may not matter to me, but it does matter to me because it matters to you, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. And you have to, as believers, we have to accept the risk that entering, that when we say, yes, we're going to enter into people's lives to, like, allow healing to take place or help facilitate healing, like, we have to accept that that's actually probably not a safe place for us, and that's a risky place, and we have to rely on Jesus.
So good.
Right?
Yeah. So
like,
good.
Like, we've talked about this some, and I think we're going to do a podcast episode just on this later on down the road. But one of, I think, the most harmful things for the church is that we've said, oh, we just want to create a safe place. And I was like, so you want to be void of risk?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's so counter-gospel.
Yeah.
Like, the gospel calls us to enter into those places, to bring who Jesus is to those places, to bring healing, to bring redemption. And in order to do that, we have to accept the mess that comes with it. And that doesn't, and accepting the mess doesn't mean just being like, okay, I'm going to just let that mess be and it'll work itself out, right? That doesn't mean that. Like, if you accept something where it's at, it means you want to accept where it's at and then move forward.
Yeah.
And that looks different for everybody.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to use an analogy really quick and just understand that don't equate this with your pain. This is just an idea of accepting risk. When I bring a puppy into my house, I'm aware that he's going to chew on things. He's probably going to poop on the floor. Mm-hmm. He's going to pee on things that I don't want him to pee on. Yeah. You know, there's going to be a lot of things that I accept when I bring the puppy in.
Dogs are destructive
because and they grow up and they get better, you know, and they, you know, well, sometimes they get better, but like those are things that I accept. And so when we step into people's trauma, mm-hmm. it's not a safe place. It's going to be a messy place. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not equating your, by the way, I am not equating your trauma with a dog. But like when you step into a situation like it is messy. Like that's whole thing, mm-hmm. what you talked about with pastoral things too. When you take people and you put them on a stage, they're going to speak heresy at some point.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to talk in front of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And our job as pastoral people is to pastor that, not to like harass or belittle or attack that person.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like we're actually called in to pastor it. And we know when we do it, it's going to be messy. Mm-hmm. Sarah, you've been doing worship a long time.
You
get a new worship leader, is it just smooth as butter when they come in the first time?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you guys, I did not lead worship this most recent Sunday because mm-hmm. I was coming back from a conference and knew that I needed some time.
Yeah.
Like going to a church conference, yeah, we're supposed to be filled up, but it's also really draining.
They are exhausting.
It's draining for an introvert that has had to learn to extrovert for church, and then you have to go and be around a whole bunch of your peers, and you're like, oh, yeah, right. I still got to be on point right now.
Well, and there are always a lot of sessions, too.
And it's from 7 o'clock in the morning till 9:30 at night, and you're like, okay, Jesus did take naps, people. Mm-hmm. He did take naps. Uh-huh. Anyways,
I don't know about you, but whenever I see something's ending at 9:30, I'm like, hard pass. I'm out.
Well, they're like, we're done at 9:30. I was like, PM?
When you travel with your boss, you kind of make sure you're at all the sessions.
Oh, man, I'm going to make sure he listens to this episode.
So I showed up to church, and I lost track of how many people were like, you're leading worship today, right? Mm. And I was like, nope. And they're like, oh. And I was like, oh, guys, like, and that kills me because we don't like different.
Right.
We don't like something that doesn't look like what we can tolerate or what makes us comfortable.
Yeah.
And guys, have you guys ever watched a gory medical scene or maybe a shoot 'em up where someone's dying and like things are squirting out of a body and mm-hmm. or a medical show and they're frantically doing a whipple stitch?
I have
stitch.
Seen a number of zombie movies.
So anytime we're dealing with humans.
Yep.
And anytime we're dealing with pain or trauma, mm-hmm. it's messy. Mm-hmm. It's gory. Mm-hmm. It's either blood or guts. It's verbal. People shooting things from their mouth. Mm-hmm. It is physical. It could come out in addictions and mm-hmm. things like that. And so I guess I wonder when people question about is the gift of healing for today and for now? And when the cessationists want to get up and they want to say, nope, that was just for a time. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering when they forgot that Jesus was saying it's the sick that need a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he was telling everyone, it didn't matter if it was a child, a woman with a bleeding disorder. It didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was saying, your pain matters. I can handle your mess. Mm-hmm. Even if people are watching, I can take care of it. So why are we afraid to step in? I guess I'm wondering, like, why are we afraid to step in?
I mean, one of the main reasons, like, I struggled a long time ago is I was like, well, what if it doesn't work? Right?
Well, it's not your responsibility.
Well, I know, but this was my issue coming in. I was like, well, what if it doesn't work? I was like, now, first of all, just big head on Ben. Let me just explain this really quick, okay? Big head on Ben. Like, what if it doesn't work and people don't trust God because of me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a valid concern to have in your heart, but let's be honest. If people don't trust the creator of the universe because of Ben Edwards, they've got some serious issues,
mm-hmm.
right? Because one, I'm going to break somebody's heart. I'm not God.
So, I don't think you broke anybody's heart.
No, right? You know,
I'm glad you finally admitted it.
Yeah.
Glad he finally is going to step off that fake throne of his.
Oh, man. Shots feels fire. Good to get that off my chest. But.
Cancel that intervention.
But on the flip side of that, we are called to represent God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think, like, there is a certain thing about, like, being aware, like we talked about being in a mess. Mm-hmm. We know it's going to get messy. To fix things, it typically does get messy.
Yeah.
And especially when you're a beginner, right?
Yes.
We're going to come back to something that's not as necessarily charged as healing ministry, where people are conflicted about it. But as you are bringing somebody in new to mm-hmm. worship, it's messy. Yeah. If they've never done it before.
Yeah.
So there's so many different analogies we could use to paint this picture, right?
Yeah.
Here's a couple from my life. One, which is recent, which is today, we started the process of ripping our deck out on our house. Now, Ben's been to my house. Mm-hmm. My deck, needed to get ripped out,
yep.
like, since I moved in. Like, I stepped through it the other day, and I was like, all right, sweet, here we go. So, but now the front of my house looks worse than it did,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the deck is like half out,
mm-hmm.
right? But it will look better at some point.
Right? Yeah.
But sometimes you have to take care of the brokenness in your life, you have to let Christ rip it out.
Yeah. Right.
And that's painful, right?
Yeah.
Because it changes the image.
Mm. The
other in my life is I come from a family where I have 5 adopted siblings. And I've had people who've talked to me about, like, well, if we're thinking about adoption, what should we consider? I was like, well, you should just know that you're entering into trauma. Because, like, if you are taking a kid who is not biologically yours into mm-hmm. your home, there is some story there of why that had to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that story can vary. But, like, if you're like, oh, well, I'm thinking of adopting, and you're like, you should look into, like, okay, how do I deal with people who have had significant trauma in their lives, right?
Yeah.
But as a church, we are called to bring those people in.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pastor friend of mine. Every Sunday, he walks around the church around 7 a.m. He picks up beer bottles, cigarettes, stuff like that, and it's brings him such great joy. And the reason being is he's like, it shows that broken people feel welcome here, right? And there's a few church members at that church, and this was a few years back, but they're like, man, we just really don't like that. And he's like, well, you know what? Like, it shows that broken people feel welcomed here, and like, and that's what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you want a place where broken people feel like they can come for healing, where they can come for restoration.
You said earlier, you're talking about, like, the church can't necessarily, it can't be a safe place because it would be devoid of risk. Like, we try to keep it as safe as possible.
Right.
But it's supposed to be a transformative place, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. I think we should preface that. I think it's good that churches have checks and balances and do things like, hey, let's background check the people who are going to work with students.
Yeah.
And that involved in, like, being as safe as possible. But when you work with broken people, you're going to have broken people.
Yeah.
Including us.
I wouldn't even say like safe as possible. I would say like you want to manage your risk, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Like you're managing your risk.
That is better than safe as possible because safe as possible, we'd all be in bubbles.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, apparently that really tickled Sarah. she likes the idea of being in a bubble. So talking to the, let's steer this a little bit and talk about just healing as an idea to the non-Pentecostal and Pentecostal. Mm-hmm. First thing is, coming from a Southern Baptist background, I'm going to talk to the non-Pentecostal, right? God wants you to be a conduit of his grace into people's life, mm-hmm. conduit of his love into people's life, conduit of his kingdom coming to earth. Mm-hmm. How that looks is going to be between you and God, but I guarantee you it involves bringing healing in some capacity to people around you. Mm-hmm. It is not you doing it. It is always the power of Christ doing it through you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to go. Mm-hmm. You have to step out. Mm-hmm. You step with the authority of God, but you're stepping, and make sure you're stepping with the authority of God, mm-hmm. but you're gonna have to go. And so the best place to start is to actually, when people need it, or when they say they have a need, stop and pray for them. And remind them how much God loves them. Mm-hmm. Because regardless of whether they are, I'm going to say, quote unquote, healed or not, the greatest healing is the fact that we know that God is dwelling with us mm-hmm. wherever we are. Mm-hmm. That we're not alone. And he's going to sit with us in our brokenness, in our emotional issues, our trauma. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm going to be here. I'm going to plant my butt right next to your chair next to you.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go through this together. Or God's going to be doing something demonstrative in their life, and they're going to have something dramatic happen because God is bringing something into their life that's going to be dramatic healing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had that happen in my life. And then I've not seen it happen in somebody else's life, but I've seen the exact healing in their eyes. Does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. I see God doing something in their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To the Pentecostal, I'm going to kick that over to my good friend, Pastor Sarah.
So I guess for the Pentecostal is I'm going to tread lightly because I'm still walking in my own woundings of going to revivals mm-hmm. or a church meeting, special speaker and having healing services and the mm-hmm. anointing of oil. And sadly, I have seen some abuse of that. So mm-hmm. I want to tread lightly because I believe in the Pentecostal faith, or especially just with the holiness movement, we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when Jesus says, all authority from heaven and on earth has been given to me to give to you to go do this, mm-hmm. as Pentecostals go, all right, we're supposed to go do this. Let's do it. And we can be a little flashy at mm-hmm. times with it. And I'm still trying to figure that out because I think it's a personal conviction when it comes to an expression. Mm-hmm. And I believe that it should be a personal conviction in how we are using the gifts of healing. Mm-hmm. If we're using the gifts of healing to emotionally manipulate the room, that's a big problem. Mm-hmm. If we're using the gifts of healing to over dramatize the spirit, that's a problem. So for me, like, as long as we're holding a heart of humility mm-hmm. in this and we're making it about the healer and not about us getting to do it, but we're just keeping our eyes on Jesus, I believe that those expressions can be done in beautiful ways mm-hmm. that look crazy at times mm-hmm. that might have someone laying on the floor or might have someone running the aisles or might have someone speaking in tongues because we can't, again, who are we? We are not creator. So how can we have an opinion or a say of how the creator restores things back?
Well, and you think about, like, if I'm just using a physical one, if I was in a wheelchair and God healed my legs, I should be visibly excited,
mm-hmm. right?
I should be visibly excited. I will do backflips, you know? Actually, I won't because I don't know if I can do a backflip ever, but it's harder for tall people. That's the issue. But I should also, when that pain that I have from church trauma doesn't get triggered, I should also do a backflip for that too.
Yeah. I think sometimes when healing ministries come in, they will often, I want to be careful with this, but sometimes they'll rip open old wounds that have already been healed.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like if I,
yeah,
I'm going to pick on you a little bit, Ben.
Do it.
Okay. If I walked over and took your glasses and then said, oh man, you're blind. And then like put glasses back on, be like, oh, you're healed. I did nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? All I did was give Ben something that was already healed in his life or something that already helped him in his life. Right?
Yeah.
Right? And so, but I've seen that happen too in churches where people have come in and be like, oh, we're going to do healing revival stuff. And then really they kind of just rip open old wounds that people have already.
Hey, anyone here that's been who has child abuse, anyone here who's been sexually molested, and then all of a sudden it's like, but you're wait, wait,
right? Like I have my own issues from my childhood, right? And for the most part, those have been issues that have been dealt with. Like conversations have been had, healing's taken place, but I still have people in my life who would like occasionally try to push and be like, "Well, didn't you feel this?" And it's like, "Yeah, but that's done and over with. Like, that's been healed.
Right?
Like, there's been forgiveness, restoration that's taken place in that area." I think my encouragement here is just when we do enter into those places of healing, we also want to learn to recognize the areas that have been healed.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Right? Like,
that's so good.
Like, and it's not that the healing, and sometimes the healing's instantaneous. Like, I have family members who like heavily addicted to substances, found Jesus, instantly healed, never craved him again. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I also have family members who are the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Came to know Jesus and they still wrestle with the, okay, I've given this up, but I still have this temptation all the time for this, for whatever that is. I don't want to throw them under the bus directly, so I'm being
right.
Yeah.
Well, when we discussed having this miniseries, we started with three episodes, which I almost feel like if you were like, yeah, let's talk about the stuff, but we prefaced them with three episodes talking about getting yourself right before you step into the spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
Right? Love God, love other people. Mm-hmm. Hear the voice of God.
Yeah.
Demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if you're not a person of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, these aren't fruits that are abundant or at least pursued in your life, you shouldn't be pursuing these other things.
Yeah.
Like God will use them in spite of you, because even like, I want to talk about these ones where they rip open old wounds, right? Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about the thing where it's not great. Like some bad things have happened. Even in the midst of that, God does use that to work in people's life.
And
he works in spite of us.
Yeah,
and so like it's like, how do we do it? Not necessarily like, and I'm not I don't want to pick on anybody in particular, but it's like even in the worst sermons, God will translate that and still reach people because somebody is trying to faithfully get up and do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? But at the same time, our goal shouldn't be to have God work in spite of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But rather work with us.
And we shouldn't forget the stories that come with our wounds.
100%.
Like we need to know our story, where we come from. We've talked about that quite extensively here on this podcast.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't forget those, but we also don't need to just dwell in that.
Correct.
Right? Like there comes a point where there is healing that's taking place and healing that continues to take place.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to live into that.
I think this is just such... It's such a broad topic.
Yeah.
I think as a listener right now, you guys probably had a couple times where like, ooh, they're going to go this way. And then all of a sudden we, like quickly corrected and went left or we went right. Cause I'm even feeling it in my spirit. There's been so many things that we're touching on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But before I leave here today, I think my soul's being convicted in the fact that what are we doing when we have been recipients of healing and we've experienced the supernatural power of him being Jehovah Rapha?
Mm-hmm.
How are we then being ministers of that healing to others? Because it says that if we have been given freely, freely then we give.
Yep.
And we've brushed on it a little bit. You know, it has to do with comparison of how we view other people's pain. It has to do with our own personal viewpoints of what we've experienced and what healing ministry looks like. But I'm wondering, and then we talked about fear, like being afraid of like dealing with the mess and like, but if we have been recipients of this, why are we not freely giving it? Mm-hmm. And I can only speak from my personal experience that I remember at the age of 12, it was so significant. My parents had separated. We're living in our second new apartment. You know, we're on food stamps, but hey, like we have our own place now. Mm-hmm. And I remember listening to a worship song, and immediately my heart was grieved at the age of 12 that I would never have children. Why would I think that at the age of 12? I'm looking at my 12-year-old now, and she's like, do not ask me to babysit. Do not ask me to do anything. Like, she is like, don't ask me to cook. Like, my 12-year-old right now is like, no. So why I would have that feeling? And I remember the story of Hannah in the Bible. So we talk about a woman that experienced healing. She cried out to God. The prophet Eli told her that if you go and back to your husband, you will have a child. And she had a child. And so at 12 years old, I made a covenant with God. I say, God, I promise you that if you will not make me barren, if you give me a child, I will give that child back to you. 12 years old. Okay, fast forward to being 21 years old. I'm married, unequally yoked, far from God. Drugs, drinking, like I'm pissed. I'm pissed at my trauma, and I'm giving God the finger. Mm-hmm. Like he's not going to get me. And I'm sitting there at 21 and I'm going, "Well, crap. You know, like I want to have a baby, but now Richard and I are dealing with what was told to me at the age of 15. Mm-hmm. At the age of 15, I was told I would probably never have children. Mm-hmm. That there would have to be a whole bunch of medical interventions. I actually had significant surgery done at the age of 15 to try to help correct it. And the doctor came back and said, good luck. When that time comes, good luck. So 21, Richard and I are going, okay, you know, do we want to have a family? You know, are we going to try this out? And miraculously, guys, when the doctor said that I should not have been able to get pregnant, lo and behold, Richard and I are pregnant. Mm-hmm. I'm not serving God still. Mm-hmm. Far away. You know, Richard's, you know, doing his own thing. You know, like we're just not like we're not doing anything. And I am laying on a couch in Phoenix, Arizona on an October morning, Sunday morning. And I audibly hear the voice of God say, Sarah, you made a covenant with me. Mm-hmm. Guys, I was pregnant with my first child and it was a boy. And God said, you made a covenant with me. If I gave you him, you would give him back to me. I was literally walking out healing that somehow in my 12-year-old soul, God had put into my heart, Sarah, make this covenant with me. Let me show you, won't I do it? Mm-hmm. That when I was told at 15, you're not going to have children, I was like, I just didn't worry about it.
Right.
And then I get married and it's, you know, the husband wants to start a family and the doctors are going, well, and yeah. Boom, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
So I worry because that is, I think that's a, for those that don't know, for the listeners that don't know, I have 5 children, all conceived naturally, 3 of whom were conceived on contraception. So let me tell you, it's a miracle. I'm literally living out a miracle being a mother. Mm-hmm. Why is that stopping me from going and praying for that person that is struggling across the street? Mm-hmm. It's been freely given to me. And what happens is I get stuck in me. I make it about me.
Yeah.
And that typically is what stops me from being the vessel that Jesus was saying, all authority from heaven and earth has been given to me to give to you, to go do this, do it. And I just came back from this conference and my husband and I are sitting outside of the TSA line in the Portland airport. And this woman just comes and plops right down next to us. And Richard and I are kind of frantically trying to deal with ourselves and get ready to go home to the kids. And we're both tired and exhausted. And this woman just starts talking to us. And she starts opening up about how this is the first time she's flown in 15 years. And she went to go be with some family members for a specific thing. And she was going home and she just had like a lot of questions in her soul and just felt a lot of unrest. And I'm listening to her and I hear God say, go over there and pray for her. And I was like, hot no. And so I just keep talking to her and I'm like, Richard, grab your bags. We're going to go. Like, and all of a sudden I heard him say, Sarah, bless my daughter. So I take the seat that's separating the two of us and I sit right to her, next to her, and her eyes get big. And I'm like, my name's Sarah, by the way. We've been chatting and she shares her name with me. And I was like, I need to pray for you. Is that okay? And she goes, uh-huh. So I that's all she, uh-huh. And I put my hand on her leg and I just say this simple blessing that God had asked me to say over her. I finished and her eyes are big and I just squeezed her and I said, thank you. I literally felt something leave my body. Mm-hmm. Like I was tingling from the top of my head down to my toes. I was shaking my hands out as I walked away from her. And when I walked away from her, she erupted in this loud laughter of joy. And there was this man sitting next to her. And they were just shaking their heads like, what just happened? And I'm walking away going, what just happened? And I literally couldn't talk after that. Mm-hmm. Something left my body. Mm-hmm. Freely it has been given to you. Mm-hmm. Freely give to others. Mm-hmm. I wish that I could live in that Holy Spirit bold moment all the time.
Right.
But I was coming fresh on the heels of getting real with my depravity, the things that aren't yet healed in my soul. Those wounds that came ripped out when I was at this conference. Mm-hmm. And I was being reminded how Jesus met me in the midst of that. Yeah. So how could I not give that to her? Just bless her. That's all he was asking. Mm-hmm.
It is really difficult, but there's always miraculous things that happen when God is just doing, it's always the simple things that he utters and that it makes profound impact.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think I've shared this story with you guys before when I was also coming back from a conference. So, just FYI, God heals when people don't come back from conferences too. It's not just conference, you know. Mm-hmm. But I was coming back from a conference and I was in the Portland airport going down, you know, you have to go down to where the Horizon flights are, right? And I was walking past Starbucks, and I heard God say, get a $5 gift card. Mm-hmm. I'm like, can I get coffee too? and so I got coffee, and I got a $5 gift card. And I was like, okay, why a $5 gift card? He's like, it's for the person sitting next to you. Mm. Okay. So I'm like, in my head, I'm like, how do I give somebody a $5 gift card and tell them that God told me to give them the gift card without being super weird, right? And so I sit down, and this kid, he's like 19, comes and sits next to me, and a really nice kid. And I was like, hey, I got this for you. And he's like, oh. And I was like, yeah, I always feel a little bit bad that people have to sit next to me because I'm quite large in these little twin prop airplanes, you know. And I was like, and also as I was walking past, God told me to get you a $5 gift card. And he goes, oh. And he, so super nice kid. And then he starts asking me about like where I've been. And I told him about like the conference I'd been to. And he's like, oh yeah. He's like, well, one time I was skiing and I got into an accident and I got knocked out and I woke up in the hospital and I was like, am I dead? And a voice said, no, you're not. I'm here with you. And there wasn't anybody in the room. I was like, oh, so you've met God before. Right? Now, remember, Benjamin has zero tact sometimes.
I know exactly how you said that. So I just laughed.
And he goes, well, maybe. And he's like, I grew up, when my mom is Catholic and I grew up in the church or the Catholic church and I've read the Bible some. And he was like, God seems like a cool guy, but I've just never had like an encounter. And so I was talking to him about some different things and praying for some different things. And I mentioned something about praying for people when they have like screws or things in their, mm-hmm. ankles and like, how people have seen them like dissolve in the, and like they just don't show up on, x-rays anymore. And he goes, well, I have screws in my ankle. You pray for me? And I'm like, oh, man. I don't know. Like, I was like that. And so, but I didn't say that out loud. I said, sure. And so I prayed for him, and I started to pray for him. And I said, hey, just, I want to let you know, before we pray for you, I want to tell you how much God loves you. And whether or not, like, this happens in your life today, that's going to be true no matter what. Mm-hmm. So I started praying for him. I was like, just let me know if you start feeling anything. And so I prayed for him, and I was like, anything? He's like, no. I was like, all right, I'm just going to pray, you know, that just God would fill you with his love. And, you know, and started praying like a very, I'm not saying a vanilla prayer because it was heartfelt, right? And then he goes, whoa. I was like, what's going on? He's like, my entire leg just went numb. Okay. And then his legs started shaking. Now, Southern Baptist boy, right? His legs started shaking and his hands started going like this, mm-hmm. right? Because he was mm-hmm. under the power of the Holy Spirit,
yep.
right? And he's like, what's going on? And like inwardly, because I'm still going to a Southern Baptist church at this point, inwardly I'm like, ah! right? Because I'm like, I don't know what's going on. But I'm like,
Holy Spirit or seizure?
Yeah, so I said, well, the Holy Spirit, you know, he manifests himself in people different ways. I said it very calmly, but internally I was screaming. And I was like, if this kid, like, because I've been in a conference and people had, like, you know, they got hit and they were down for like 20 minutes. And yeah. I was like, people are going to come by and be like, what did you do? You know, and I was like, oh, no. But he says, he's like just talking. He's like, I feel connected, you know, to God. So like I was prayed for him. And then he asked me like a ton of questions about the Bible. And so the flight from Portland to Seattle is not long, mm-mm. right? It's not a long flight.
31 minutes.
And so we came in and I had to go a different place when I got into Seattle, and he had a different place he had to go to with connections. And so we're getting off the plane and like, he's just asking me different things. You gave him some ideas about like where to find a Bible that's easy to read, where to start in the Bible if he hasn't read it before, yeah. why it's really important to get like some contextual analysis on the Bible because it's 3,000 years old. You got to understand what is being written. And then I told him to start praying, start writing down what he's praying and listening for God to speak to him. Mm-hmm. Right. And compare it to the stuff that he's reading. Right. And so that I left, and then I'm standing there like getting my luggage, and his parents were traveling with him, by the way. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm going to tell them everything. And I'm going to talk to them about God. And, you know, like, and he's like real excited. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I'm standing there waiting, like they have little twin luggage things that they bring out. Right. And so I'm standing there waiting for my little thing that I carried on to go. And he runs up and he hugs me and he's like, okay, I got to go. And he runs away. So I gave him my phone number, and 2 days later I get a text. Like I was like random encounter, half hour, you know, whatever. I get a text. He says, I don't know who you are or what you did. All I know is my life isn't the same, and thank you for it. Mm-hmm. It was a terrifying moment for me. And that's not the only one. I have lots of stories that I could share.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is why having a real relationship, real conversation matters. Mm-hmm. Because you find out God's been doing crazy things in everybody's life, right?
Yeah.
I thank you so much for the story, because you just brought me into a piece of your life I didn't understand before. Right? I understand you more now than I ever have before. Mm-hmm. But it's messy. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. And I guarantee you, you're going to have that internal scream like I had.
Yes.
Yeah.
You are going to.
Yeah.
I had a girlfriend, messaged me recently. She had mentioned that she needed prayer and there were people there. So I was like, everyone get on.
Mm-hmm.
We're praying for her. And it was at an inconvenient time.
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to get ready to be going out to lead worship, to start church on time. And this person had said, I need prayer. They weren't on the worship team going out. And I was like, well, the worship team's here. I can't think of the word, that we're bearers of this covenant with God. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care if we're starting church late. And I was just, you know, going to just do the Lord pray, you know, heal her, Jehovah Rapha, to your will, yada, mm-hmm. yada. And I heard God say, because my hands were on her shoulders and everyone else's hands were on her shoulders. And I heard God say, Sarah, this is where I need you to put her hand. I just knew that she was having health issues. Mm-hmm. I put my hand on the small of her back, and I immediately felt heat resonating from my mm-hmm. hand. And I started tingling from the top of my head down. Mm-hmm. We prayed. We left. I got a text message from her. Do you guys mind if I read it? Because she's speaking to the gift of healing. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, where you touched my back in the exact spot of my pain, and it felt hot to me, and when you touched it, it was cooling. I had sharp pains in the front of my belly, lower back, and then she said, I want to remind you, wow, you are the healing healer. Three times you have prayed for me, and God granted healing. Mm-hmm. We need people in our life to remind us of that. Mm-hmm. I have prayed mm-hmm. for countless people. And like Ben is saying, Ben, you were given a gift that a lot of us don't get. You got to see the fruit mm-hmm. of the healing. There are so many times that as we are being asked to be partners, co-heirs, co-laborers of the kingdom of light, that we don't get to see the fruit.
Correct.
Of mm-hmm. acting out this, freely giving out what we know has been given to us. Mm-hmm. But rarely do we get to see, did the healing actually happen?
Right.
And that's where that prayer of faith has to take place.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We have to believe that God has already healed it. Mm-hmm. By his stripes, we are healed. It doesn't say by his stripes, we are going to be healed.
Right.
By his stripes, we are healed. Mm-hmm. We have to be praying from a place of saying that healing has already happened. It's in the works. And we are just aligning with God's will, God's timeline, and we are going to ask him for it because right. you have not because you have asked not.
All too often, I think one of the issues we run into is we just neglect saying yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Because like you both talked about, I mean, both your stories here, it was about you saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a big part of it. Like, you could have walked the other way. Mm-hmm. Like, you could have walked out in disobedience, right? And what would have happened? Like we don't really know. But the thing is with the saying yes is we're responsible for saying yes and living into how Christ has called us to live. Mm-hmm. The outcome of that is not our responsibility.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because Ben, you were talking about earlier how like, oh, well, but what, like playing mm-hmm. that what if
right.
in your head. Like, oh, well, what if it doesn't work? What if I lay hands on this person and nothing
yeah.
happens?
Yeah.
What if I,
yeah.
what if I pray for them and no change?
What if I give them the gift card and it's a really awkward 35-minute flight?
Right?
Right?
Right.
And sometimes you don't see the fruit of that.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Like sometimes you're called into something and you don't see the fruit of it. Like I remember one time I was standing in line at Starbucks and I just got paid. I had a couple $100 in my wallet and the Lord was like, hey, I want you to take $100 and buy the drinks for the people behind you. And I was like, come again?
Hot no.
It's like I want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly.
Listen, I will do whatever you ask me, but I want to make sure this is God speaking and not the devil trying to get rid of my paycheck.
Uh-huh. I was like, come again. All right. And so, long story short, gave the $100 and just told the barista, I was like, all right, we want to pay for all the drinks behind me. And anybody who knows me knows that, like, I don't have a ton of money. I don't dress like I have a ton of money. Like, anybody watching the video can tell that. But what it was the barista behind the counter needed an encounter with Jesus. Mm. And then so I came back a few days later, and she bought my drink, and she's like, I have no idea why you would do that.
Mm. Mm.
And so then I just got to share Jesus with her.
Yeah.
Right. Just got to share the calling that God's put on my heart and my life. And it opened up this conversation for something that she needed to hear. Right. It wasn't that $100 wasn't for the people behind me. Like maybe there's blessing that came out of that for somebody. Right.
Yeah.
But it was for the person who was making the drinks who needed to hear about Jesus in that moment. Like we have this calling in our lives to be faithful and obedient to what Christ has put in front of us. Sometimes that's going to make us look like fools.
Yeah.
And that's okay because we don't follow the ways of this world. We follow Christ.
Yeah.
Right. And so we need to lean into that, be willing to say yes. And even if sometimes you'll find that healing works and you get mm-hmm. to see the fruit of it. Sometimes you won't.
Right.
And But still, whether you do or do not see the fruit of that, you need to lean into that.
Yeah.
Lean into that obedience of following Christ and saying yes.
A less dramatic story, but like I just think it's going to really help maybe encapsulate, like, because some things are really dramatic. Something like, well, no, obviously, I don't want to compare gifts of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's one spirit and many gifts.
Yes.
As Paul said. And so I've told this story on the podcast before. I was with my niece, and we went to this restaurant. A bunch of us were there, and then I paid for the meal, and she saw me right in the tip.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that people may or may not know about me is that I like to tip generously because I believe that God has been extremely generous with me.
Yeah.
And so I want that to show up in the way that I treat other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so she looked at my tip and she said, but our waitress was terrible because, you know, she's eight. So that's what eight-year-olds say.
Uh-huh.
And the service was not great. I will agree with you. And she says, so why did you give so much money, Uncle Ben? And I said, well, Jesus has been incredibly generous with me.
Yeah.
Especially when I didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
And so when I'm generous with people, especially when they don't deserve it, it reminds me of who I serve.
Yep.
2 days later, she was doing something and she went to go tip and she gave some extra money. She says, "See, I remember Jesus." You know? And it was great. I was like, "Good job, kid." You know?
Yeah.
I was like, but like she's brought up that story a number of times. Like whenever we go to tip, she's like, "Oh, Uncle Ben, don't forget to tip big." You know, so
yeah,
it's just you know, given the opportunity to do something in somebody's life because it's been done for us. To your point,
mm-hmm.
we freely received, mm-hmm. freely give,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, and I hope that people, when you guys are listening to this, mm-hmm. and you're getting, you know, real life stories of times that we were wrestling with our flesh, you know, that the Spirit of God was alive and is alive and was speaking to us in those moments and saying, "Go be my hands and feet." And we were going, come again?
Yeah.
Hot no? Who? You know?
New phone, who dis?
Yeah, exactly. I hope that people are realizing that again. I love just the grace of God,
mm-hmm.
and living this sanctified life, this deeper life, this awareness that everything that Jesus was coming to tell us, that the kingdom of heaven was near, he brought heaven to earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because of Jesus's life and walking and living out and showing us what to do, he brought the Holy Spirit to us, mm-hmm. as a deposit to show us that the kingdom of heaven is here,
mm-hmm.
and that we're going to wrestle until he comes back again. We're going to wrestle with our flesh, but hopefully as we testify, because really that's what we're doing right now is, yes, we're talking about mm-hmm. it and we're sharing stories and mm-hmm. we're being honest about, you know, living this life, but we're really testifying of the times that we were saying we are not enough.
Mm-hmm.
God, did you get the right person?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting in Portland Airport. No, thank you.
Yeah.
And instead God's going, yes, I'm choosing you
mm-hmm.
through my Spirit, and you won't be alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to have to think about what to say to that mm-hmm. person when you're on that 31-minute flight. You're not going to have to think of what to say to that barista the next time. You're just going to be like, I just love Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus told me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we overcomplicate these gifts.
Yeah.
We overcomplicate them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to try to bring this in for a landing. Biblically, you have to do some real big gymnastics to not see healing as something that God does in the present day through his people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That doesn't mean that every person you see who proclaims healing is doing the work of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So one of the things we've talked repeatedly about is you got to know the Word of God so that when you encounter the Spirit of God, mm-hmm. it connects with the Word of God that you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the context of spiritual gifts, it's so important that we, have this fundamental truth of loving God, and that translates to loving other people,
mm-hmm. yeah.
that we learn to tap into the voice of God,
mm-hmm.
be directed by his word, because
Amen.
What did all of our stories have in common?
Mm-hmm.
God spoke, and we responded.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, whether he speaks to you through prompts, through audible word, through right. text messages that you get from your wife that are like, oh, yep, that's definitely something I needed to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That never happens.
Lindsay was just on here, man. Come on. And then be demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. It becomes paramount for us. Like, if you're going to, but to do these things and then, but actively listen to God and actually walk them out. That's prophetic word. Mm-hmm. That is hospitality. That mm-hmm. is preaching the word. That's mm-hmm. worship. Mm-hmm. It's healing ministry. It's speaking in tongues. All of these things that we do that are spiritual gifts, mm-hmm. they're spiritual anointings, if you will. Yeah. They're meant to be done from a person who's settled in following God with everything that they got. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that settled, you really need to get that settled before you start moving.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, yes. God can do a lot more through people who are yielded to his will than people who are just going to do stuff.
Yeah. And being settled in that doesn't mean having it down perfectly.
Correct. Because when you walk into it, mm-hmm. it's still going to be messy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the things that I'm always just careful of is a lot of times I've met people who are like, here's the set ways of how you deal with people who are dealing with trauma or pain.
Yeah.
And I'm like, problem is it's so individualized to that person that
you can't
say here's the set way of how you deal with it.
You can't. Yeah.
You say these are some trends that we see that might be helpful.
Here are some suggestions.
Yeah.
Right. Right. But I've had people with some of the trauma and pain in my life who've stepped in and been like, oh, well, you know, if you do this, or this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that just made it worse.
Yeah.
Like, and so, but when we're walking this out with Jesus, right? When we as believers are taking this to the world and we're settled in who he is, what that simply means is that we're striving to be mm-hmm. more like him every day. We're striving to follow him every day. And as we do that, the Lord's going to put these opportunities in our paths.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. Yeah, I mean, he tells us that all throughout the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we want to thank you once again for being here with us. We love it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know how much we love it, but we love it.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Always great. Always great to have on.
And
I enjoy you guys.
So we will be back with our next miniseries soon. It'll be in the book of James. Mm-hmm. That'll be fun. And I think we've convinced your pastor to come on too.
You better get him soon because he leaves on like the 14th of May.
Yeah, I have. You're one of the things. I'm leaving this in here so he can hear this when he gets prepped for this episode, like coming
okay,
in.
Okay. Well, you.
He does not text me back.
So you call.
Okay, I'll call.
And you text, and then you can be like, Kate, if you don't answer my text, I'm going to FaceTime you, or I'm going to show up.
he's such
an introvert. Like, going to a conference with him and seeing the two of us, like, I'm introverted, and I was like,
yeah.
I have people skills at least.
Yeah.
But you're introverted, and then there's Kate.
Kate.
So good. All right, with throwing Kate under the bus, we
love
will
you,
see
Kate.
You guys
love you.
Next week. And that's a wrap for today's episode of Love and Context. We hope you enjoyed this engaging conversation and gained valuable insights into the powerful message of love within the Bible.
We'd love to hear from you and continue the conversation. Connect with us by sending us your questions, thoughts, and suggestions to loveandcontext@gmail.com. We greatly appreciate your feedback and ideas for future episodes.
Stay connected with us on social media for updates, behind-the-scenes content, and additional resources. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook at Love and Context. Don't forget to hit that follow button to stay up to date with the latest episodes and join our growing community.
Thank you for being part of the Love and Context family. Remember, love is at the heart of it all. Until next time, keep seeking wisdom, embracing love, and living out your faith in the context of today's world.